you.
So moved.
Second.
All the minutes from the last three meetings.
I enjoyed being at them so much, I'd like to make that motion. Yes.
Thank you. All in favor?
Aye.
Thank you. I'm going to take the late resolution out of order, 172, so Mike can speak on it, Mike Iaposi. And that is authorizing the chair of the Ulster County Legislature to execute intermunicipal agreements with the town of Sogarty and the village of Allenville to provide the services of domestic violence investigators to the Ulster County Family and Child Advocacy Center. Mike?
Yes, thank you for the invitation to be here and for considering the late resolution. The origins behind this resolution were arrived at as a result of some staffing challenges we've been facing at the Family and Children's Advocacy Center. Just to give you a brief sense of how that facility is organized, it's comprised of law enforcement investigators and caseworkers from DSS. And we basically have four teams, and each team comprises an investigator and a child protective services caseworker. Back in 2014, we shifted away from the model where we had previously recruited law enforcement personnel from the municipal police departments, and that was a result of a decrease in funding from OCFS. OCFS at that point in time discontinued reimbursing the county for expenditures that were incurred to be able to recruit law enforcement personnel from the municipal police departments. So we were faced with a situation where in order to be able to meet the fiscal expenditures, we started to move to a model where we were hiring retired law enforcement personnel through the district attorney's office. So that was a model that got implemented at the end of 2014, and we've been doing that 15, 16, 17. What we started to see, though, is that retired law enforcement personnel had other opportunities that became available, particularly because of the safety crises on school campuses. Many schools are hiring school resource officers, and as a result of that being an available opportunity for retired law enforcement, they were being compensated at a higher rate, and it's a much more manageable schedule for someone who's retired to work during school hours. The law enforcement investigator positions at the FCAC are very demanding. It's often investigations that take place on weeknights and weekends. We get calls all hours of the day. So we were continuing to recruit retired law enforcement. We were investing in training them. We were bringing them on board, and then they were leaving. So we were having recruitment and retention and compensation issues. So as a result of that, we decided to try to return to the model where we were recruiting law enforcement personnel from local police departments. And we started conversations with some of the police departments and were asking them if they would consider participating for an amount that we could afford. And that would mean that they would partner with us to make personnel available at an amount that we were able to contribute, and then they would pick up the difference for the salary and fringe of their personnel. So that's essentially the backdrop here. Right now, we have four child protective services caseworker and a supervisor at the FCAC. We have a dedicated investigator from the Sheriff's Department, and we have a dedicated investigator from the district attorney's office, but we do currently have two vacancies. So in conversations with Saugerties and Allenville, they've each indicated that they're willing to enter into agreements with us over the next 2 years to provide us with trained law enforcement personnel. I think the advantages are clear. It'll stabilize the staffing. It'll address some of the recruitment and retention issues. And after the 2 years, when the law enforcement personnel return to their municipal departments, they'll have gained experience at the FCAC. So I think it's a fairly viable model, and I think it addresses the issues that we've had there. And I would be grateful for consideration of the resolution, available to answer any questions.
Thank you. Thanks, Mike. Any comments or questions for the commissioner?
Just for the purposes, is it moved and seconded? I'll move it.
Second.
Thank you, friend. John.
I mean, I think this is a great opportunity because I know when the, you know, Children and Family Advocacy Center opened in the beginning, you know, it was through a grant with, I think the state police had somebody with us for many years, and they actually sent down a senior officer and a junior officer, and then over the years that well dried up. And then we've been, like you said, forced to staff it ourselves, and it's, you know, with budgetary constraints and things of that nature, it can be tough. And especially in this case where you need really specific training, you can't just put any deputy or any local law enforcement officer in this situation. You're dealing with a whole different, you know, I don't know if anybody's ever seen it, but they have almost like individual interview rooms that almost look like a playroom, and then it's all tied in with electronic surveillance, so officers and DA's investigators can watch the children interacting with essentially a social worker, and be able to have an interview without having to have a really, you know, intense interview with a police officer.
No, it's a really unique facility. We were one of the first counties in the state going all the way back to 1994 when we partnered with the state police to start a Children and Family Advocacy Center. And the model you described is truly multidisciplinary.
Yeah.
We have crime counselors, we have physicians. All of it takes place in a facility that is off-site from DSS. So it creates a little bit more of a better environment that puts children and family at ease. And you're exactly right. Initially, it did receive significant fiscal support from OCFS and the state police, but both of those wells have dried up.
Yeah.
So we've been forced to really find different ways to fund this. And one of the reasons that municipal police departments discontinued the model we had is they had previously expected full reimbursement for both compensation and fringe. So it's worth noting that both Ellenville and Saugerties have been willing to partner with us on this initiative.
What is the breakdown of what is Saugerties and Ellenville going to be responsible for? I know you can't turn it probably down to the penny, but if you can ballpark it, I mean, how much of the time of that their deputy that they're going to be lending, is it going to be for 2 years they're going to be completely working with the county with this, so they're just there, and how much of that
they're assigned? So
50,
the 50? Ballpark is that we have been expending somewhere in the neighborhood of about $75,000 on the law enforcement investigators through the DA's office. When it's all said and done, that's been an average. So that was the amount that we offered in our negotiations with the municipality. I think in Saugerties, a police officer with their salary and fringe is somewhere in the neighborhood of $120,000 or $125,000. Ellenville might be $95,000 to $105,000. But we wanted to have a baseline that reflected what our current expenditures were. And they've agreed to make up those differences for 2-year contracts.
Further questions? All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Thank you, Commissioner.
Thank you very much.
Thanks, man.
Have a good evening, everyone.
You too.
Good to see you.
Okay. Nice to see you all.
Moving along to 473, getting back to order here. Setting a public hearing on proposed local law number 23. Local law entitled Ulster County Ethics Law. We have some Orange County changes here as a model, don't we, Ken?
We do. It's in your meeting packet. I know that Legislator Nolan was the one who had asked for you know, the major changes between our law and the Orange County law, and I had Jay send it along to you. And I know that Chairwoman Bartels had sent some suggested changes or suggested
questions.
You know, I don't think that I have a problem with any of the changes that you suggested. A lot of the wording changes Sorry, it was a paper attack. I didn't. I wasn't prepared for that. So I don't know what everyone wants to start discussing first, or you know, I think Chairman Bartels and I had talked about maybe, you know, sitting down and just going together line by line on it. I'm comfortable with that. I don't believe that this needs a referendum. I specifically asked the county attorney, and so has minority counsel, to let us know sort of before a veto message that it would require a mm-hmm. referendum, but I don't think that anybody's made an argument that there's any curtailment issues with this as it's currently written. So, you know, we're not in a gigantic rush on it, in my opinion.
So, my understanding, we're going to postpone this for a month?
I mean, it depends on which way you want to go through it. I feel like I could sit down with Ken and anyone else who wanted to sit at the table, and we could probably work through a lot pretty quickly. It's been out there to everyone, so if people have concerns about any of my questions, it's all been in the spirit of compromise. You know,
yeah.
I'm not trying to be argumentative. I think they're improvements, and then a couple of them are policy issues, but I believe we probably, a small group of us, could come back with everything changed and in advance so that then if there were, you know, because it's going to take us a while to go through point by point. There's a lot of it's up to you all.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Actually, a couple of, I'll actually start with the technical things first. Mm-hmm. First, I'd like to move it.
Yep.
If someone wants to second that, Kenny?
I'll second it.
All right, thank you. Now, on the measure, I mean, this may be something to bring back to Dave and yourself to maybe even actually have a special meeting on this to kind of go and finalize. It shouldn't take us too long, simply.
Yeah.
I don't think, unlike other, when we've done other special meetings, there's been a lot more of, I think, larger issues. I think a lot of this is more about making sure we've got it point by point. So that may be something for yourself and Chairman Donaldson, Mr. Chair, to go and address Chair Bartels' questions. At this time, if you would like to entertain it, I'll move to postpone Resolution 473.
I'll second that motion in the spirit of cooperation.
All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
And then Ken, you and I will get together and we can reach
Absolutely.
Out if other people want to be
yeah.
involved, they can come, and otherwise we'll circulate everything.
Mm-hmm.
481, establishing a policy to prohibit the use of public funds to place the likeness or name of elected officials on all Ulster County BOE material. Anybody want to move it?
I'll move it.
Second. Hector, second.
What am I seconding? Oh, election materials? Sure, I'll second it. 41.
Legislator Maloney?
Yeah. So, I'm still wait. I've talked to Mark Ryder a couple of times. Most of us were here a month or two ago when we had originally spoken about this with the commissioners from the Board of Elections here. It could cost, I'm getting different estimates, it could cost up to $10,000. I think it costs us, I don't know, what does it cost us here, to $10,000 to $20,000 for
our
what?
Annual maintenance agreements for 10, which includes
that's
room
separate,
for
but
like special
there's only
projects.
One separate. We only have one. The schedule is the only thing that's even separate that kicks up separately. I don't know a lot about this. I've talked to different people that would, and I get different estimates. Nothing's crazy, but it's still $10,000. I don't feel like anybody particularly feels like spending that. This would kind of get where we want to be and allow us to still stay completely within the county's domain. It's pretty simple and straightforward. It basically makes us follow state law, which is that when you have a separate Board of Elections website, county level or whatever, it is completely separate from all elected officials. Because we were technically on the county's website, we were allowed to put elected officials' likeness and name on there. This would kind of get us there without spending any more money. So where I was ready to pull it seems though I still haven't gotten any estimates from IS, though they're supposed to be working on it, but it sounds like it could be around $10,000 for maintenance. So I would just assume pass something like this and get the best of both worlds.
Just want to add that we have a correspondence from Tom Turco. He is meeting with IS on Wednesday.
Yep.
We'll see what happens from there. Any other discussion on the Tracy?
Yeah, I mean, I think I didn't have a problem, which might have been premature, with moving this resolution when Legislator Maloney went to pull it last time, but I think that time helped us to find this catch in terms of the ballot, which Mark Ryder brought up in caucus. But I also, like I said, in
the sample
caucus,
ballot?
I think you weren't even there. Yeah, I want to make sure that
we're
not...
I mentioned that in the last committee meeting.
Yeah, and I...
Well, we
I
talked
said
about it
yeah.
where it could be, the language we
I
felt
feel,
could be pretty simply addressed.
I feel like we have to fix this. Like this, and Joe, I think we should ultimately pass this, even with outside, with a maintenance cost for outside site, but I want to make sure that we're not, there's something else that we're not missing, because I brought the sample ballot in caucus, but there may be other election material that isn't strictly defined as a ballot.
I thought, I thought we had talked about coming up with a couple of simple lines that would cover us with all that. I thought that Nick, and I don't know if it was Chris or David, thought that was doable, but this is going.
I think it's doable, but I think we need to do it because I think this is inadequate. This line.
Yeah. Because it's going to
bump. With the exception of being named on a ballot as candidate for office, I mean, like, so what's the language that you're looking for?
I don't have the language, but what I'm saying is,
I mean, there's sample ballots,
sample
too,
ballot,
that,
you're not named
that
on
the Board of Elections
like this,
puts
this
out.
This is strictly
that.
A ballot, so that would leave out a sample ballot. I think that somehow the
this
language
committee,
has...
I mean, this committee's empowered to go and make an amendment with the sponsor's consent. I mean...
But do you have the language? I don't have the language.
Well, we have a couple of lawyers here. Would the language be that simple that we could amend it onto there now? And
there's proposed language in the packet. I don't know...
Are you saying with the exception of being named on a ballot?
Yeah, was that something that...
Well, that's what both Ken and I mean, you're saying you said this at the committee. I'm saying I said it at caucus, so we said it separately.
We had this conversation. Right?
Yeah, we did.
But
we've
said
had
it
the conversation
two
before.
Places, yeah.
Because, you know, the ballot is... It's a good point about the ballot itself, but the Board of Elections puts out other information
and
with
I
candidates'
said that
names
at our
on
caucus,
them.
Which Joe wasn't at. So it's like I said that without knowing that you all said that, because that came up to my mind. I'm just worried that if we don't think through... official election material, maybe that's the language, but if we don't think through something that includes everything, that somehow someone is at a disadvantage because their name can't be put on whatever that official election material is. Maybe that's
the
language.
Are we worried about...
Yeah, I mean, like, that kind of sounds like...
There was,
that's it
right there. I had a...
You,
if I could be recognized briefly, I had suggested, instead of enumerating specific exceptions, just tweak the general exception in the second resolved. If, you know, the thought process was that general exception wasn't sufficient, and, you know, it could be language along the lines of, you know, except as otherwise required or permitted by federal or state election laws or regulations. That's a very broad catch-all, but it allows flexibility to the Board of Elections to do
election
what
they results and everything else.
Because what they need to or are required to do. And not worry about, oh, gee, we violated county policy. So that was my suggested approach. I don't, you know where it stands currently, but...
Yeah, that's... You just brought up another one. That's... I just want to make sure that that doesn't get...
I mean, I'm comfortable with that if you are, Joe.
Oh, I would be. Can we do a... I'll amend it to exactly what Mr. Pasquale said.
Nick, can you repeat it again, by the way?
Jay, you took that down verbatim, right?
Yeah.
Yes.
But are you going to eliminate your previous amendment?
Well, I'm not sure where that came from. But
that was in this committee. That was
several months ago.
Maybe.
Let's not be concerned about
it. Might have been February's meeting.
You're getting to the weeds, Nick. How about we focus on
Chairman Donald?
Where else would I be? I'll
guide you out.
So I would suggest that not be moved because it hasn't currently been moved in, right?
Right, the bowl just gets pulled out.
Right, so that not be moved. And, you know, my suggestion was to, because I guess the thought process was the second resolve, which I think the intention was that would serve as a carve-out, but it was considered to be too vague, just be replaced with something that, you know, provided that nothing herein shall be construed to preclude anything that is required or permitted by federal or state election law or regulation. And, you know, four words to that effect. So that gives the Board of Elections the flexibility they might need to not violate this policy, but also not violate federal or state election laws.
Hector and then Kathy.
Mr. Chair, I will adopt that amendment as my own and move it.
Okay.
get a second on that amendment?
Second.
Discussion on the amendment? All in favor?
Aye.
Sorry, Kathy.
No, it's all right. Writing the legislation and policy in committee is, I think that if it's a simple change, can be helpful to move something along, especially if it's urgent. But in this case, we're trying to make sure we capture stuff and don't capture stuff, and there's a meeting later this week. So with one of the election commissioners who might be able to suggest some more on that. So I would prefer more care and have that done and brought to the committee. Also, I'm very troubled that we have this policy, which is dealing with a glitch that happened that has now been corrected, that is now going to cost $10,000 a year. I'm not happy with that.
That may or may not happen.
Okay, I think it would be really problematic to spend $10,000 to fix something that isn't now
this
broken.
This resolution doesn't mandate the $10,000.
And I think this would make it so we don't spend money.
Okay.
More likely to.
Hector?
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I mean, you know, look, I mean, I'm not here. I mean, as far as I'm concerned, so long as we are protecting, you know, the official functions of the Board of Elections, you know, I don't want to speak on behalf of the committee, but I feel like I can support this. At least, you know, its intent is to make sure that we're not in any way sort of creating a bias or a sense of bias or anything associated political with the Board of Elections outside of its normal function. And so in terms of this committee has actually had this legislation in front of it since 2018. I mean, if anything, at a certain point, you know, we have a lot of legislation that's been in committee for a while. That's not to go and say these things take time. I understand that. I think even the sponsors of all the legislation from carryover from 2018 understand that these things take time. So, you know, in this case, this one seems like an easier fix, considering that the Board of Elections was already sort of there, I think, as a partner, and so therefore I think it's a little bit easier this time.
Joe, please.
Yeah, and they are a partner. This was a request from the Board of Elections for years that was denied several times for them to have their own independent website. And according to state law, all the things that we're doing are in state law. The reason they don't apply to our Board of Elections website is because it was technically part of the Ulster County website. So this is something that, in my mind, we're doing for the Board of Elections, and it's going to be virtually free. And when we get that cost, Mr. Roberts just pointed out, we don't have to act on it. This will kind of just be applying state law to our own county Board of Elections.
Tracy?
Yeah, I mean, as I said at the meeting that I was at, when I suggested maybe we not pull it, which would have been premature because of that glitch, but you know, I'm just Googling and looking at other counties, and Orange County has Steve Newhouse on their BOE website page. And so while, Kathy, you refer to it as a glitch, I think it's important that we put a policy in that's going to extend beyond any given exec. I think that it's an important policy to have. And in terms of, I think Legislator Roberts is right, that as you move forward, we'll look at, you know, the money it costs for an outside site and whether or not we do that. But if this protection is in, and as long as everyone's protected in terms of being able to be named in election results, on ballots, on absentee ballots, on sample ballots, then I'm good with it, as long as that language that Nick recommends is enough.
And by the way, would that, just as a point of clarification, would that actually delete out in the first resolved the bolded section?
Yeah, it wouldn't be strict.
So just
it would
ensure,
just not be
Jay, can you make sure? I know, but just to make sure that. All right.
We had never technically added the bold, right?
No.
I thought it was voted on.
Yeah. But if we did, then it needs to be. Then
it's the same way
I'm considering it part of.
Yeah.
Legislator Rodriguez's amendment.
But it'll
have
a strike.
Yeah.
Just want to make sure.
The way to do it.
Yeah, just want to make sure.
I thought Nick said leave that in.
No.
The bold?
The bolded, no.
No, I guess I just was questioning the source of it, but I was admonished.
Justifiably, if not.
I pass no judgment on my admonishment.
All in favor of the resolution as amended without the bold.
Do we have that written down? With the,
okay. Yeah.
Yeah, Jay took care of it. As usual.
No, we won't.
Was it 90?
Yeah.
41?
No, they wanted to do it. We talked about it last month, and then, I'm sorry, Mr. Chairman, would you like me to move the next resolution?
Yes, go ahead.
All right, I'd like to move Resolution 93, which is setting a public hearing on the local law to extend the term of a county legislator from 3 years to 4 years, without reading all of the laws we're amending.
And I'll second it for discussion purposes.
Thank you both.
Mr. Chairman, may I?
Yes.
So last month, it was requested by members of this committee that I put together a schedule of what the terms of office would look like on 2 year, 3 year, and 4 year, which you have attached in your information, in your meeting packet. Just getting there. Hold on a second.
20 years of
20 years of a schedule. It was easy to do. I also took the liberty of putting what election cycle would be involved in it, whether it would be a local, gubernatorial, or presidential, and when they would take place. If it were a choice to me between 2 years, 3 year. If it was a choice between 2 years or 3 years. I would personally choose to stay with us at 2 years. I think that the real discussion should be between a two-year and a four-year term. And the four-year term, as it sets right now, if the voters were to approve it in November, would line up with the comptroller's election every 4 years.
Any other thoughts? Kathy, go ahead.
I was one of the, I think I was the person who asked to see this, and the argument was that lining up with the local elections was a major benefit, and that the three-year term would deprive us of that benefit. Looking at it, the rotation between the different other elections that we would line up with, local presidential, local gubernatorial, local presidential, local gubernatorial, I don't see that there's a problem because those others are on a schedule and it's some years you would line up with local and some years you'd line up with others. And the benefits of having a two-year term, you get some of those with a three-year term, and the benefits of having a four-year term, you get some of those with a three-year term. So I'm looking at this and thinking, this is actually better than either of the two alternatives. I don't know if there's, you know, more than just myself that sees it that way, but it actually looks pretty workable. And
so you like the three-year term?
Yeah. What would I like to ask people to think about it?
I'm going to go Hector and then Kenny.
You know, I'm just going to go and say, and again, I appreciate the minority leader doing this work. I do. We still are going to always run into the problems as soon as you move off of two-year terms, being able to sort of plan for, you know, the census and for redistricting. I mean, you know, that is always going to be one of the many sort of inherent values of a two-year term, is that you're then able to ensure, quote unquote, oh, you know, you're never in a scenario, or you're unlikely to be in a scenario, or less likely to be a scenario to be representing people that didn't actually elect you. So, you know, that's one of those things, whether it's 3 years or 4 years, you're going to be off, you know, by whether it's 2 years, 1 year, you know, you're always going to be off. So, like Legislator Nolan, I think Green County does three-year terms, right?
Yep.
And how long have they done that for? Do we know?
I don't.
Jay, can you do me a favor and find out how long?
Like right now or something?
No. Yeah, this very second, call Green County.
No. The Green County historian, really, in fact.
Yeah, go ahead. Are you done?
I'm done.
Thank you. You know, I've always believed and will continue to believe that legislators, along with the county executive and the county comptroller, should run in local election years, because we're here to represent people on local issues and discuss local issues. Odd-numbered election years are when local issues are discussed and voted on at the ballot box. I think that including them in presidential and gubernatorial years clouds what we do around here. And I think that it allows a political wind of the day based on something that we have no control over and no responsibility for. I think that when you include local elections in non-local years, you get different representation than you might if you were only in a local year. Okay. And that wind blows both ways. It blows both directions at different times. I think that we're here to do local government for the people of Ulster County, and I think that the election years belong in local years.
Hector, you want to
thank
respond?
You, Mr. Chair. I wasn't anticipating this debate going on actually much longer, but here we are with New Life. So if we're going to go get into the ship of state, sailing along, with the winds of public opinion, at the end of the day, any election is always going to basically be a representation of the number of people who decided to vote that particular year, whether it's a local or in a state or in a gubernatorial, because we just saw a huge number of people come out in this past election cycle in 2018. A lot of people who weren't normally engaged, right, suddenly became engaged. Like, regardless of that, I mean, part of what I hope that we are doing here is more, I think, just trying to figure out structurally just the best way about how to go about this. I'm less concerned about when the candidate stands for election, because Mr. Minority Leader, as you well remember, when we had to elect our countywide elected officials, what year did that happen in?
I know.
2008.
Joe?
A couple of points. I tend to agree. I was the one that I think brought up the 3-year conversation last time around. I like the 3 years as maybe a compromise if people weren't comfortable with four. But I will say that right now, I think our county executive has not received a single vote from anybody in this county. So that's something that happens from time to time. And if we're going to use moving the border slightly every so often, and that person that's living at that home may not have voted, they're in a different legislative district. I just think it's a stretch. It's a small con if there is one. But I do think that Ken's right when you talk about, I mean, we could be overshadowed many years by the gubernatorial race or the presidential race. We want people to vote for the person and know what we're about. We want people paying attention, educated voters, and there's going to be a lot of people showing up to vote for the president or the governor and not paying any attention to our legislative races. The committees that work on getting these messages out are going to be far more involved in those bigger races, and you can end up with especially certain areas just getting better turnouts, things like that maybe certain people wouldn't normally be getting. I see where that could come into play. I like 4 years, and it doesn't make me that uncomfortable that once in a while there'd be a district moved and there'd be a couple of houses that are being represented for a minute by somebody that they didn't technically have the opportunity to vote for.
Agreed. Kenny?
Trace, did you have something before?
I do, but you can go first.
Just to Legislator Rodriguez's point on, people, redistricting causing issues, I just think it would be that the districts would take effect 2 years later. Rather than representing people that didn't vote for them. The concern that we have with staggered terms is you would still have the districts take effect, in 2022 for the 2023 election cycle, but and then move on from there and on from there. Then so the district would take effect, and then there would be people legitimately representing people that did not vote for them, rather than having the districts go into effect 2 years later. It's you may think it's semantics, but I think there's a difference.
It kind of, I'm sorry.
I'm going to let Tracy speak.
Yeah, I was just curious, and not to put it on Jay's plate, but how Orange County made the transition from 2 to 4 years, because they're at four-year terms
mm-hmm.
for legislature.
We actually asked them that, and what we got was the referendum in, I think, the 80s to go from the Board of Supervisors to the legislature. Mm-hmm. They haven't been able to tell us when it went from 2 to 4 years, so we're wondering if their supervisors might have been...
At 4 years.
4 years.
I wonder.
And then we
most supervisors are 2 years. Though.
Yeah, most are two. So maybe we can.
No.
Maybe we can find out. I mean,
we did ask them, and they.
Jim Quigley's got a 4-year term in the town of Ulster.
Which is probably changed later, right? It's, I mean, when
that
that's
was recent,
before.
I think.
That was 2 years ago,
yeah.
And then in the town of Wawarsing.
They went to 4.
Oh no, Lloyd. Yeah, Wawarsing went to 4 years, but Lloyd actually had Lloyd had dueling referenda. One for the town clerk, one for supervisor. They gave the 4-year term to the town clerk and not to the supervisor.
That's what Shandaken did also.
Yeah,
yeah. I mean, I just wanted to say, so I'm curious about Orange County. I know you said you already reached out, but I like the 4-year term. I just think it makes sense, clean, and I think, you know, we could survive some of these hurdles. And I think the benefit of serving a 4-year term is better, especially with the term limits, assuming we're going to end up with term limits too. So.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. So I want this debate to end so we can move on with the rest of our agenda, but I'm just going to go and say, you're going to run into that. It is somewhat, and I'm not trying to be dismissive, Ken. You know,
no, I understand.
But it is a matter of semantics, and so far is that no matter what scenario you go with, if you're going with 4-year terms, and then we've got 12, we have term limits along with that of having 3 of those 4-year terms, at some point you're always going to have representation overlapping at a certain point in terms of where somebody's district is and that they're no longer representing the constituency that elected them. You're always going to have that problem as soon as you move off of 2-year terms, no matter which way you go. So meaning even if we stagger them, you're still having that problem. If you have 4-year terms, you're still having that problem because you've then at that point you've got a 12-year, you have overall a 12-year cycle, and therefore an individual, you know, might end up sort of being caught up in the middle of that. So I understand where you're coming from, but it's still, no matter what, you're going to have that problem once you move off into your terms.
Thank you.
So.
Jonathan?
Yeah, I mean, I said during our last meeting that I'll support the public hearing, but, you know, just because I think, you know, all our legislators should have the ability to weigh in the public, but I still, you know, tread easy on the concept of a 4-year term. I think a 4-year term is a long time, and I think to put the entire county on 4 years... I just, it's not a concept I'm totally sold on, but I will support it, you know, for the purpose of, you know, all the legislators having the opportunity to weigh in.
Go ahead, Kenny.
Just, you know, I would like to move forward on this tonight just so we can get the process started with a public hearing, because we're going to be coming up on deadlines for filing referendums eventually, and if we're going to have discussions and any changes and changes that might come from the public discussion, I think that we should move forward now with a public hearing, and then we can have further discussions, you know, to give the public the chance to weigh in, and if they come with concerns or suggestions or things like that, we'll have time to address them before we're running up on a deadline.
I agree with you, Ken. So all in favor of moving this to a public hearing?
Aye.
Aye.
Opposed?
Thank you, everybody.
Go to 124, setting a public hearing on proposed local law number 15 of 2018 as amended.
I'll move it for discussion.
Second on that?
I'll second it for discussion.
Thank you, Tracy. Okay, go ahead.
Legislator Bartels and I had a discussion earlier today about some concerns that were raised with the term of office and how it would affect... how it would affect or how it would be calculated, because it says no person shall, we'll just use county executive as an example, no person shall serve as county executive for more than 12 years calculated from his or her first term of office after the effective date hereof. I think, you know, Trace, your concern was that somebody could do a 4-year term, leave for 4 years, come back, and then that would be 12 total years because it says calculated from the first term of office. I think that that's not an issue the way it's written, because it says shall serve as county executive for more than 12 years calculated from his or her first year in office. So in the 4 years that they have a hiatus, either from the voters or just self-imposed hiatus, they would not be serving as county executive, so it wouldn't be calculated towards the 12 years.
Now, would that be...
I'm not clear that's... So, but why then is it have calculated? I mean, I like the Dutchess County language better, where it just says, shall serve no more than 3 4-year terms.
Yeah,
meaning,
I
like,
think
whatever,
that...
Whenever you
reset.
Serve. Yeah,
and
there's no resetting. Like,
and
this
again,
makes me nervous.
And, I'm fine with changing the language to that. Mm-hmm. I think that the reason... Because this is the law that we passed already.
I know it is.
And the reason that it was... I believe the reason it was worded that way is because originally it was one local law with term limits and an extension of the of term from 2 years to 4 years, which would have then, it would have then had all of the elected offices that were being term limited to terms, and it was originally to no more than 3 full terms. But then it got complicated because now we're term limiting the executive to 3 4-year terms and the legislature to, you know, 6 2-year terms. So I think that that's where the calculated language came from.
Yeah.
Just guessing.
On this point?
Then I can call Hector and then you.
Let Kathy go first.
Oh, thank you. I didn't see your hand up. Sorry. I like this language because if somebody served part of a term and then had to leave for a reason of illness and then came back and then got elected again, then the no more than 3 4-year terms wouldn't tell you what to do with that. Whereas I think this language
that's going
to
be another.
That's going to be another issue that we're going to discuss in a minute too.
Yeah, that's
right. But then, how would you handle it? This would say that you count up the number of years that they served, as I read it.
Which brings up the next, maybe bigger problem.
So they could be elected five times, but only serve 12 years.
My comment's going to be.
Thank
you. Because, you know, one of the things is I'm actually going to preface by saying I didn't care the mechanism that it took to get the term limits, whether it was a referendum or whether, in this case, the measure before us, which is a local law. But, you know, one of the things that has sort of come up is that, I mean, for good or for ill, a referendum has a certain level of finality and absolute to it, insofar as that we are deferring to the voters with regards to a question, and the answer is either yes or no, right? The voters can't say maybe. Or if they do, that's really awkward because it'd be a tie vote. So for my part, what I'm fine passing a local law. That I need to just be upfront and just say that. I'm not here to go and oppose local law. But I think there are, though, still some outstanding questions, one of which we are now beginning to get into in terms of partial terms and full terms. And so that may be a reason to hold off for a month, as I've suggested. That said, I don't know if, through the chair to the minority leader, I mean, do you actually have right now, like, it's like a running list of all the different things that we're going to have to kind of get through, and can you walk it through us tonight in the next 20 minutes?
I have 2 or 3 changes that I think allay all the concerns.
Can you spell those out right now?
Yes.
Mr. Chair, can we provide the minority leader with 20 minutes to go and lay all
this out? It's not going to take 20 minutes.
10 minutes, I'm just, you know.
So,
try to set a time limit. Anyway.
I have absolutely no concern with moving the language to, you know, 3 complete terms or full terms, whatever the committee's pleasure is for the comptroller and the executive, and then changing the language on the legislature to 6 complete terms or 6 full terms. I think that that takes care of the concern of, you know, your concerns completely on the number
on
the consecutive issue. And then I know you have a concern about the current situation, which is 100% accurate with the effective date the way it is.
Can we spell it out in case someone else?
I'm sorry.
Because I didn't speak to everybody.
So right now the effective date is upon filing with the Secretary of State. We're going to have a new county executive in a month and a half. Mm-hmm. At which point the 1 year or the full term. Yeah, you know, because it's going to be a term, I guess, is the way you can look at it.
It's a clock.
Change the effective date to be January of 2020.
I'll tell you that. Okay, so my concern as I started to look at this again, weighing everything, and what Ken's talking about is that I realize in the given situation that we have, we're going to have a new, as you're saying, we're going to have a new executive. The new executive is going to start their term in June potentially,
yep.
Which means that their clock starts in June, and that the maximum of 12 years that they would, if they ran for three more terms, they would clock out before the end of their third term and be required, either be required to resign. Some people think wouldn't be allowed to run knowing that they couldn't serve the full term. I'm inclined to think they'd be required to resign.
But you
fix the problem for this person. But you don't fix the problem if it's going to happen again.
No, but I'm thinking it out, and I'm gaming it out in my head. We do by use of the word full term, because I don't think that there's any. More than three full terms.
Right. So.
So this is not a full term. This is filling a vacancy.
Game it out. Listen. So if the executive leaves office 2 years in. And we have a special election, not this one. We have a special election. We have a new executive. The new executive serves 2 years. Then the new executive runs for office. If they can't serve more than three full terms, that 2 years makes them more than three full terms. So they can only serve two full terms plus that 2 years, which means they're prohibited from running for the third term. So I just feel like we have to think out.
We've got two attorneys here. Let's get their opinion on the terms full or complete terms.
Well, what Tracy said, if I can be recognized.
Of course.
It's ambiguous language. When you say more than X number of full terms, does more than apply to the number of complete, the full or the number? I would suggest you decide what you want exactly in different scenarios, and then we can draft it. I mean, the English language is sufficiently flexible. I will advise you that it may take more than one provision. You may want to say they can serve no more than X number of years, they can run no more than X number of times, they can have no more than X number of full. There may be a bunch of different things that come out of this, but I think trying to do one sentence to do everything is going to cause all kinds of problems.
Gerald? Well, I mean, what about some kind of language that says taking over in a partial term year would not count towards this? That would take care of all these scenarios.
But you've got others. Like what if somebody left? What if somebody got elected? I don't want to do it anymore. They leave and they come back to do it again. I got elected. I don't want to do it anymore. I mean, you can game this out in a bunch of different ways. I'd suggest deciding what you want.
I think the one we're really concerned about is somebody taking over, and it happens. Now we're becoming very aware that this kind of thing happens.
Yeah.
So you take care of that because it will inevitably happen again. It takes care of it. If you take over,
so filling an unexpired term shall not count towards the three complete terms. You think that sufficiently handles it, Nick?
That certainly handles that scenario.
I mean, we can't game out every single scenario. If we do this, this local law is going to be passed in 30 years, and it's going to contain 35 distinct sections in each one of these things. I mean,
well, and I also, someone brought up the situation. I don't even remember who brought it up at this table, but someone brought up to me the situation of someone starting a term and then leaving, either because they're sick or because they want to, or because they're trying to game the system. I feel like if you keep not finishing your office, you're not likely to.
That would solve its own problem. I mean, that would be like a Houdini-esque, kind of gaming the system.
It'd be easier to go after referendum and repeal.
I'd want them to run a Fortune 500 company.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. I'm saying that's
if they could find a way to continually get elected to 2 years in a 4-year term.
My bigger concern is that we have a situation right now that I don't want to create a problem for someone who's finishing an unexpired term and not allow them to serve three full terms. Because I don't believe that's not what our intent is.
The effective date.
The effective date should handle that.
It only handles it for this one.
Yeah, no,
I'm not interested
not,
in
not going
it
forward.
For
no.
So we wouldn't even have to change the effective date if we just put this other language in.
How much of the unexpired term the person fills out to start his?
I don't know. We should have a conversation about it. In the presidency, it's only 2 years. In the presidency, it's 10 years maximum, right? So.
No. Presidency, it's getting elected twice, and there have been a number of presidents who've been able to serve out almost a complete 4-year term before it even starts, like Truman, and that was before the rule. But
he had a full
4-year term before he even had to run for re-election.
No, but Gerald Ford would have been a test case.
We don't even have
for example.
I'm okay if somebody takes over for 3 years and then gets
actually eligible for election twice.
Right.
Plenty of
them. So
yeah, I mean, it says up to 10 years. I'm just Wikipedia-ing it. I'm not going on my, like, long presidential knowledge.
Wait, wait, are you using the internet?
Yes, two terms.
Wikipedia,
up,
even.
Up to 10 years as president.
Google is our friend.
So that means
that's
two
one of the amendments?
Well, I have no idea. This is, that's what the internet's telling me, so.
It's usually, it's, I think it's...
It's fake news.
They're allowed to get elected twice.
Exactly.
Like Johnson, Lyndon Johnson could have run for re-election in 68.
But we should have a, we should decide, your point is we should decide, is 2 years or is it any portion of an unexpired term, which would then, could then mean up to, you know,
almost 16 years.
Well, yes, like what do we want to do?
It takes a while.
Decide what you want and then we can, then we can, then we can drift it. It may take a couple of sentences, but
I'm okay. I've been a term limit guy, you know that. I'm okay if this weird scenario happens and somebody takes over and gets an extra 2.5 years.
Or 3.5 years.
Then they still have to go and win 3 more elections, and that'll be that.
I'm actually okay.
Well, it would
be
tough. We'd appoint somebody, and then they'd have to wait for a special election or election, so they wouldn't. This person would not technically come in.
We don't even actually know, because we have to amend our charter anyway, because
it's
flawed right now. So we're going to have to fix that, too. So that's another job for this committee to get to. Yeah, so.
So what
hold
are you
on.
Doing? And you said he didn't need 20 minutes.
He's only at 10.
Thanks, Kathy. All right, so what do you think about this for language that would, you know, insert 6 full terms for the legislature, but I'm just gaming it out for the executive. No person shall serve as executive for more than 3 full terms. The filling of an unexpired term shall not apply as a full term pursuant to this local law.
It's fine, but then you seems to just so you're aware, then you have a maximum of functionally 4 terms if they take over, you know, for basically a full term, like throughout.
I think that'd be okay.
I also don't necessarily know that that's, I mean, you know.
I don't think that's how the charter's going to end up.
Standing. I don't, it might not be how the charter, I mean, if we start drafting this based on how the charter, how we think the charter's going to look in a couple of months when we game that out completely, I think that we're going to end up have to, you know, re-amend this after that, because there's going to be a lot of discussion that goes into that. And again, we're passing this as a local law. Should something occur, we can amend the local law.
What about provision C there, where it says a county legislature for more than 12 years? Does it say anything about 2-year terms?
Yeah, does it? Us changing the terms, how does that
vote yes on, you know, a 4-year term for the legislature, if it even goes to the voters, if it passes the legislature, then we would have to amend this local law to be 3 full terms, the same as the executive and the comptroller. But I think that comes after the voters approve a 4-year term.
Mr. Gordon?
Could I suggest that? I think actually the number of years is actually a very good thing, because I think it's what you want, but I would just advise that if you do that, to consider doing something that says if this occurs in the middle of a term, that they get to fulfill the rest of the term. So if somebody's 12 years is up in March, you don't want them resigning in March after 12 years, because they may have started by filling in for somebody else. Same with all of them. If you have a number of years, which I think is exactly what you're going for, don't force people. I would suggest not forcing people to walk in the middle of the term.
Right, but wouldn't Ken's language saying that
it's four, it's full, so they'd be able
saying
to
that.
Out.
Well, no, he's got a number of years here.
No,
we're going to amend it to 4 full, two three. Full.
Like for the exec, would say
3 full terms, right?
4-year terms, like Dutchess County language.
3 full terms, which is a 4-year term. Yeah.
It would be the Dutchess County language, yeah, with the qualifier.
Which originally we had that as the language, and then it got convoluted when we separated them, I think.
Yeah. I mean, I definitely feel more comfortable with language that doesn't lend itself at all to seeming as if it's consecutive.
Yep.
And then I think having had this time to look at it, because this was obviously all conceived in advance of Mike Hine resigning, so we didn't have... We didn't foresee that problem, and so I'm glad that we've had the moment to deal with it. I mean, on the issue of the voting for it as a local law versus a referendum, it's interesting because I'm very pro term limits, and Ken and I have talked about this for a lot of years. But it's in being pro-term, I've found a lot of people who are like-minded politically who are not pro-term limits, mm-hmm. and I've heard the debate and the discussion, so I was actually very much looking forward to hearing from the public, both because it would, for me, confirm whether or not the public really wanted this, since there was yeah. pushback that maybe the public didn't, and also, I think passing this as a local law is a very fragile way to pass it, because the next body could just vote to undo it. And mm-hmm. then, and I think while you legally can vote to undo something potentially that the public's voted on, the fact that the public's voted on it makes it harder politically to do that. It makes it, so I like the concept of asking the public. I don't know if we can go, I don't know what the reality would be. Spoke to both Jonathan and Ken about it, being that they both work in the state, of what's the reality of us actually getting, if we asked for a home rule request for the authority to do a permissive referendum, if we were to concede that point for the sake of argument for a moment, and I don't know if we could get the permission to go for a public referendum. I'm curious what everyone thinks in terms of the issue of just passing it as a local law versus pushing ahead with the referendum.
I you know, as I've told you and others, and I've been very vocal in this committee and other committees and on the floor of the legislature, I'm very pro-referendum, especially on this. Unfortunately, the case law shows that we can't have a referendum on this, or it's unlikely that we would be successful were somebody to sue us over having a referendum. Now, it still is astonishing to me that somebody would sue in order to have the public not be able to weigh in on something. But be that as it may, we live in a very litigious society, so it's entirely possible that that lawsuit comes up. And I find it hard to accept that we're going to put the county in a position to have to spend money to defend this when we can do it by local law, even though I would much rather do it by referendum. I don't know what... you know, Jonathan has said about likelihood of a special, you know, special referendum. I've never seen it done, and I would doubt that the state legislature, especially this year when things have been so volatile, is going to step out into that. And then I don't know if the governor would sign such a law, because the governor's been issuing a lot of vetoes lately. So in order to take the county out of the potential for litigation that exists right now, I would be in favor of moving this forward with amending it to take away some of your concerns.
Hector.
You know, thank you, Mr. Chair, and, you know, Ms. Minority Leader, I appreciate this. You know, what I'm still going to have to vocalize my frustrations at this point, and so far as that I know, there has been information that hasn't either been shared, even upon request of the legislature, or has not been fully shared. I understand that you're the one doing this, so it's different. But, you know, these issues were even coming up last year before the vote on term limits, and even during the course of the override. And, you know, the fact that information, unfortunately, here we are now, the last minute. And I get that you're pushing this. I'm still gonna recommend that maybe you postpone a month. But I want to hear all your amendments first. So that way then we can sort of judge whether or not all the issues that we've raised here tonight have been addressed. But I'm just going to say that it shouldn't be up to this legislature to sort of go and sort of have to kind of do this when some of this information has actually been held for a while. Mm-hmm. And it's been a frustration. I know, the chair, you've been sort of getting to the bottom of many of these issues with Jonathan. The county attorney's office, for example.
Yeah, I mean, I would prefer... I think, you know, we had the ability to push this another month. I would personally prefer that, to consider the proposed amendments, to discuss the proposed amendments prior to, you know, with our caucuses, prior to, you know, right before the vote. You know, I think it's something that's really important to get right. I think there is a lot of... scenarios to think about, and, you know, different philosophies around the issue of term limits. So I would prefer we wait one more month.
Kenny.
I'll trace you first, because I'm going to have a, hopefully, a solution. Is that right?
Fine.
Yeah, I was, you know, I feel similarly because I haven't been able to speak to the caucus or any other members other than the people on this committee that I reached out to at the last minute, because this, I became aware of this in thinking through and sort of grappling it with it myself personally, and I was surprised. I mean, I even said to Ken today, because he's the sponsor, and I called saying, I honestly wasn't holding out. It just occurred to me about the executive's office that there was this. Mm-hmm. So I'm happy that we have this extra time to fix it, because I feel like if we had moved forward or there was a referendum as such, there'd be a discussion about the fact that we were putting a potential executive in the situation of having to resign early and have a special election in their third term. So I'm not sure what it hurts to bring it to each of our respective caucuses, have the conversation, and then make sure the language is right and move it forward next month. Because I also don't know where the whole, it's just speaking for the Democratic caucus, I don't know if Jonathan, if you know where the whole Democratic caucus stands on this. Because everybody's been a lot of movement.
I mean, it was very similar to, you know, people felt, you know, they would there seemed to be a consensus that people felt more comfortable with the idea of it going to the public for a referendum, but I mean, understanding the circumstances. So then it was a lot of same with, I mean, mm-hmm. I personally have struggled with it.
Yeah.
But I think, you know, I think we all agree on what the reality is. It's just, you know, what's the best way to go forward.
Joe, do you want to weigh in?
Sure.
You don't have to.
No, I started. I'm frustrated. You know, this is a conversation we should have been having. You know, last year it was, I think the veto message was the first time we heard, because we had talked legally about this a lot. One of the things that led us to go the referendum route was the fact that it had been done in another county not
Suffolk.
Too long ago,
Suffolk. Right?
So we kind of had another county doing the exact same thing. I think that they even do the term extensions with it.
They did, right?
Now the Suffolk example, Suffolk County actually has special authorization in their county charter to hold their own referenda, and even has a, like, initiative where residents can bring up ideas on the ballot.
So they're protected there.
Which is something we should consider.
Yeah. I would like to see term limits. There's no worry as far as part of this is pulling my, and I will say this, that I haven't heard from many people. I mean, I was one of the main sponsors on the referendum, and I've heard through the grapevine about all these other things. I would have appreciated a call. The most important thing to me is to get term limits in. I feel pretty comfortable with Ken leading the way. He has started this conversation years before I got here.
I should have asked you to join on with me, and if you want to be listed as a main sponsor, I
would like that.
Yeah.
Thank you. Do we have to worry about the ballot, because part of this is removing it, the referendum, and how long does the Board of Election? I guess we have some time there as well.
We do.
You know.
My only concern is the amount of time that's left on a potential challenge.
Can I speak to that? So I asked the county attorney, and this isn't binding, but I asked the county attorney where that clock was, because, you know, there's the 120 days, and he suggested to me that an argument could be made. Now, he wasn't making the argument, but he said an argument could be made that the 120 days could start either at the placement on the ballot or the adoption of the legislation from the vote. So I feel like that's an amorphous line, and I feel if we're sending out the message that we're working to move this forward as a local law, the energy that is brewing about an Article 78, that, first of all, that shouldn't be our main concern, but the energy that's brewing about that, I think, would quell. So... again, I want to feel confident that we're getting the language right, and that we give a level of confidence and comfort to all the legislative members, that everybody understands where we're going and why we've made these last-minute changes, which weren't in there before. Because even we're changing the language that would have gone to referendum as well, which causes a another level.
Yeah, I think, again, that taking care with this makes sense, and get the language in front of everybody. Yeah, mm-hmm. Very comfortable with that. I do want to just say a word about this idea that a referendum really gets the idea of the people on something. Part of my professional life was doing research and including designing surveys for research. And the way that you put a question forward, the timing, all of that really can greatly affect how people respond to it. And not just what you've put in front of them, but things that they've seen immediately before or immediately after. If you're doing survey research, even about a person's own health, you can influence that by whether you've had something playing about sports or something playing about health in the waiting room. That research has been done. So I feel that we actually get a better sense of how people feel on issues by doing laws where people come in and we have public hearings and we listen and we have a kind of iterative process of thinking we've heard them, trying to respond to that. And that is the reason that I like very much more the idea of doing this by a local law. If we get it wrong, we will hear about that, and we will feel that we can change it. Whereas if it's done in a referendum, it gives a gloss of authenticity or veracity that I think is rarely deserved. And in this particular case, definitely not deserved. Because, as you said, I mean, we just designed the referendum language a few months ago, and already we see that it didn't capture a large part of what we think is important about the issue.
Which I thought was, to be honest, I thought that was talked about. I remember talking about...
The consecutive issue was, for sure.
Yeah, it was, for sure.
Yeah, but thank you, Chair.
So, you know, I mean, regardless of our views on referendum versus local laws, candidly, that's at this point, that's not the issue in front of us. The issue in front of us is, at this point, potentially holding off on this to ensure that we do, you know, get it right. And I think that that is probably the most salient point that we're all saying, I think, collectively, of trying to make sure that we get this right. You know, my question at this point, though, through the chair to the minority leader is, you know, what's the list of amendments that you're even proposing right now? You mentioned.
You know what? Let's not try to fix this on the fly. You know, I think that
waiting a month. Okay.
I think Legislator Bartels makes a good point that you know, Chairwoman Bartels. Excuse me.
Okay.
I know you don't care, but he does.
I know, but I do.
So, you know, I feel like we can communicate to those who need to be communicated to that. You know, it's moving forward, and it's not going to just get stymied. So
yeah, maybe we could have David and Nick also get together and work out the language, and then communicate it with everybody, so everybody has enough time to sit with it and know and give feedback. And,
Sure.
With I think Council Gordon's point was very good, though. It's
we need direction.
I think that the direction, you know. The language, was everyone comfortable with the language that I had written out as a starting point of what we're looking to do?
I think the question is everyone okay with the potential, because it's going to depend on what the charter change is, but with the potential of someone serving nearly a full term of a term that was vacated in addition to the 3 terms. If everyone's okay with that, whatever it is, whether it's the 4-year or the 2-year term. Then
yes, because I'm not sure how you guard against all eventualities.
Yeah.
I mean, we didn't guard against the eventuality we're spending $250,000 right now in a special election for someone who's going to serve in the position for 6 months.
Yeah.
You know, because you can't guard against all eventualities when you're writing things, unfortunately. And then when you find something like this, and if it causes a mistake, you find the mistake, you fix the mistake, and you move on. And that's what we're doing with the charter
And blame it on somebody else.
I got no problem blaming it. I got no problem blaming it on myself. When you make a mistake, you own it and you move on.
Maybe it can include, one thing to discuss is maybe it can, like the presidential, it can include in a maximum, which we could talk about. whatever the
We could, but then we're going to end up having special elections in the middle of a term again. I mean, that's what we're trying to avoid,
right.
I think.
I mean, what would you rather have somebody, you know, serving 15 years when they're supposed to be serving 12, or having to come up with a special election because you kick them out of office in the middle of the term? I mean, just
I'm not saying that. We can talk about it.
I make a motion we postpone this for 1 month.
I'm going to second that.
With the understanding that we're moving forward on it.
Yep.
And I would ask the attorneys if they see a major question to draft alternatives language so that we can see what it would be to do it one way or do it the other. Okay. On the
all in favor of postponing?
Aye.
Aye.
We have, trying to think, we've got
128 left.
We have one more left.
That's it, and then we have the old business?
Yeah.
Let's go through the 128.
128, adopt and propose local law number 20 of 18 as amended. Local law requiring restaurants and fast food service establishments to provide plastic beverage straws solely upon request.
Move.
Second.
Discussion? Ken?
I think that this is, you know, I don't support a ban on plastic straws at this point, but I think that this is actually worse than a ban on plastic straws. I think that if we're going to ban them, we should ban them, and if we're not, we shouldn't move forward with something that puts another strain on local businesses and requires a whole other step in the point of sale. It also eliminates the ability of patrons to decide for themselves, as they already do at many fast food restaurants, because it's going to disallow, you know, so-called passive distribution of straws like many fast food restaurants already do.
Well, just for clarification, it only disallows passive distribution of plastic straws. So
I understand.
You could passively distribute paper straws, and it's having a really positive effect in municipalities, some of them very large that have adopted this. And I think it's not worse than a ban, and I don't think it's cumbersome. I think it's going to become second nature, and it's going to cut out a tremendous amount of waste without being a ban, without being a strict prohibition. So,
yeah,
I've been in several restaurants recently. I think I had told the Democratic caucus about a couple of the experiences where they didn't drop a straw in front of me, and I asked. They said, "Yes, we've stopped. How's it gone?" Great. So there's a small percentage of restaurants doing it already. I get where you're coming from. I mean, there's a, you know, there's so much plastic. This is a dent, if anything. I do happen to think we need to do what we can. I think cutlery's next. It doesn't, you know, some of these regulatory things I'm willing to do on plastic don't quite match my approach to most other aspects of government policy. I'm quite libertarian, I think, at my core. But I do think that there's, you know, I'd like to see us raise the tipping fee an insane amount. I want to kind of force people's hands because I think it's that kind of a situation we're in environmentally. But I totally understand where somebody that isn't into this, where they're coming from. I think the juice is worth the squeeze.
We're good. I strongly support it.
All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Aye.
Opposed? Okay, moving along to old business, we have 212 and 361, both of them on campaign finance.
Yeah, which hopefully would just, the interested parties are kind of bouncing back. We're trying to find a date to get together.
Mm-hmm.
But an email will go out as soon as we confirm that, because that time is not going to work. So we're going to come back to you.
All right.
Hopefully we'll finalize one by tomorrow we can all agree on.
Okay.
Go ahead, Ken.
No, that was my, like, we even have some proposed dates.
We've been kicking them around, yeah. Among the subcommittee.
So,
from the time I talked to you this afternoon at 5 o'clock.
Yeah.
By the way,
from the time I talked to
No, I know, but we've been, like,
We need all the members.
Yeah.
Can we just
and especially the sponsors.
Absolutely.
And the sponsors.
Well, and that's what we're making sure of.
Yeah.
Fucking
okay.
That's what we're trying to do.
All right. We have to get moving on this. It's been.
Kathy, I had in.
Thank you. So I believe there are some members of the public that are here, knowing that this resolution, these two resolutions, are being discussed and that this subcommittee is meeting. That we're hoping maybe they could speak, since there are all the members of the subcommittee so far here. Would you entertain that, Mr. Chair?
Sure.
I am not here to advocate for either.
Can you state your name? I'm sorry.
Oh, I'm sorry. I'm Penny Coleman. I am not here specifically to advocate for either of the two bills, though I do have a preference, but this isn't what I'm here for. I really hope that you can get this out of committee. If it's postponed again on May 14th or 15th, when it's supposedly on the legislative public hearing, that would be the ninth postponement in less than a year. And I think there's a lot of really strong feeling in favor of campaign finance reform in the community. And we would really love an opportunity to address the legislators with our feelings.
Well, maybe the chairman of the subcommittee could invite you and you could let your feelings be known.
Absolutely.
Make sure Jay has your email.
Anybody who wants to be at that meeting.
Subcommittee?
Yeah,
please leave your information and we'd be glad to have you. As long as my other committee members are okay with it, I'm always in favor of more public participation rather than less.
I was going to say, it's not as if somehow any of us is going to be opposed to that. So.
Very good, thank you.
And Jay has a running list going. So if you just give her your email address before you leave and...
Mr. Chair, given that this is currently in the subcommittee right now, do we need to postpone it again, both of these things, or since they were actually referred to the subcommittee?
They're under
we can just take
business.
No action because they're under
okay.
old business all right. anyway. All
right.
Yeah. And they're in subcommittees, and there's a confidence among the sponsors that the subcommittee will act fairly, if I remember correctly from the other committee meeting.
Yes.
And we also have 281, which we have a subcommittee that was formed, but not yet met.
Legislator Donaldson has not scheduled a meeting of that subcommittee as of yet, to my knowledge.
Okay, and 329.
As the only other member of that subcommittee.
329.
Or are you on that one too?
I left.
No, I'm not. I'm not on that one.
Yeah.
And I don't know if y'all want me on that one.
Go ahead, Hector.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. So I am still not yet in receipt of anything from the Office of the Executive. I know that Mr. Ryder offered a mea culpa last week that he had still not gotten to it and that his plan is to get me something.
Well, we're about to have a
month.
New one, so...
What's that?
I said we're about to have a new county executive.
Yeah, I know. I guess maybe that was the game plan all along. Just waited out until the new guy comes in.
One or the other, so...
All right, so I guess at this time, I'm sort of left with no recourse. I mean, obviously, yes, we could move this forward, but moving it forward without comment from the Office of the Executive on the actual administration of this doesn't make any sense. So at this time,
are
I'd rather
just taking no action?
Or yeah, that's fine. I mean, either way, it's not going to necessarily...
It'll remain here until it moves out anyway, so...
Yeah, so next month, we will wait and see whether Mr. Ryder has produced said comments.
Okay, do we have any new business?
It's just a question on the these ones that we are taking no action. Is there a way to change the date for the public hearing on them so that it's not confusing to the public? Because I had questions asked about this. No.
Because the resolution deadline when they're submitted...
That's
what you're submitting it for.
Okay. Worth trying.
Thank you. And I'll entertain a motion to adjourn. Thank you.
Second. Somebody moved it, right?
Yes.
I wasn't looking at it.
I did.
Mr. Hepner did, I believe.
Yeah. What do you think?
Thank you.